Today we're coming to look at the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is also the fifth section of the Psalm 119. I suppose the Psalm 119 is really a collection of little psalms, because there are 22 distinct sections of this psalm, but they're all woven together into one beautiful tapestry that illustrates the one glorious theme, the Word of God. Every verse of this psalm, almost every verse with just a couple of exceptions, considers the Word of God, using different phrases, using different language, but the main subject is the same. So just think about this as we read from the verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. As I have shown you, every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is a picture. And for those who have not been following this series, let me refresh your mind. Aleph. Aleph is a picture of the ox. Beth is a picture of the house. Gimel is a picture of a camel. And Daleth depicts a door. And now we come to the letter He, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the letter He is a presentation of a window. Even if a child today was drawing a simple window, just a little oblong shape on the side of what represents a house, that would be very close to the letter He. The letter He is the window. And what does the picture of a window have to teach us about the Word of God? Well, there are two things I want you to think about in relation to the window and the Bible. We use a window for two things. We use a window to look out. And the reason why we can look out is because there is light outside. And as we look out, the light comes and fills the house that we live in. And if a room does not have a window, well, the room is dark. It feels lifeless. Even though we may have the very best of artificial light, there's nothing to beat sunlight. So we need the window to give us light, and as a consequence of the light, we can see out. Windows are of little value at night time, when it's dark outside. That's why we pull down the shutters, because there's darkness. But when there is light, we have to let the light in, and we can see out. So we use the window for seeing out. But we also use the window for looking in. And there are nosy people who peer into other people's windows. And of course, that's not a very nice thing to do, I suppose. But nevertheless, a window does fulfill that purpose. Perhaps not so much where private homes are concerned, but where shops are concerned, where people want to show off their wares. They have great windows so that others can look in and see what is on offer. And so those are the two uses of windows: to look out and to look in. And a window is associated with the light. Now let us bring all this together and let us think about how this relates to the Word of God. We need the window to give us light. The Word of God is a window. We receive light in our souls through the Word of God. If we do not have a Bible, we have no light. We are in darkness. If God had made a decision, the world of humanity, I'll never speak to them, he never would have given us a Bible, we would be in darkness today. What light does the Bible give us? The Bible shows us that we are sinners. Now, sin isn't a pleasant subject, and you might say to yourself, What light is there in sin? Well, it is very important. If we are to receive a warning, that warning is light. It may not be pleasant to the ear, but yet it is light. As a result of receiving the warning, we know what we must do. We must put things right. Things need to be rectified. So a warning is a very useful means of light. And the Bible teaches us that we are sinners, and as a consequence of our sin, we are guilty. We have broken God's law. As Paul wrote to the Romans, therefore what things soever the law saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We are a guilty people. We are destined for the great judgment at the end of time because of our sin. Our sin renders us guilty. Our sin corrupts us. It pollutes us. We only have to look around us to see the dreadful consequences of sin in the world. We cannot deny it. So the Bible tells us that we are sinners, and that is light. But the Bible also tells us what the remedy for sin is. That God sent His Son, His name was Jesus, and He died for us, and He rose again for us. He defeated death for us, and there is life for a look at the crucified one. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Are you trusting Him today? Here is light indeed. And what interests me about this section called Hay is that the psalmist was praying. He was praying that he might be taught, that he might receive the light. He said, teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes. He said, give me understanding. He said, make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. He said, incline my heart unto Thy testimonies. You see, it wasn't just necessary for him to know what the light is, to know what the teachings of the scripture were, but his heart had to be inclined to the Word of God. There are many people who know what the Bible says. There are people I know, and they will say, yes, I know I am a sinner. Yes, I know that if I were to die, I'd be in hell. Yes, I would love to go to heaven, but, and then all the excuses flow in. I couldn't be changed. I couldn't be committed enough. I know people who say they're Christians, and look at the lifestyle they have. And so they agree with you to a point, but yet their heart isn't inclined to the Word of God. And just on the point of hypocritical Christians, there are hypocritical Christians, and they do the cause of Christianity no good whatsoever, but they too are representations of sin. You see, it's not people you need to look to. You need to look to Christ, the perfect man. Nobody is a Christian by following others. Nobody is a Christian by elevating others. We are only Christians by following Christ, the perfect one. And there are all kinds of reasons why people refuse to follow Jesus. And ultimately, it's pride, it's sin, it's a deceitful spirit within that hinders the progress of God's truth. Our hearts need to be inclined, and only God can change the heart of man. The psalmist was very, very aware that there were things in this world that were attractive. He said, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. The word vanity means that which is empty. People crave that which is empty. Let's put material things first. Let's live for the nice house and the good career and the good job. And let's live for all of these things. Let's imagine what it would be to drive that lovely car and let me work for that. And so people live for the things of time. People spend their times on things which are foolish, things which will have no bearing on eternity, and they neglect their precious souls that will never die. If we are to have our hearts inclined to the Word of God, our eyes need to be turned away from the empty things, from the vain things. Are you following the things that are empty today or the things that are vain? The window is for looking out. And as we look out through the window of God's Word, who do we see? We see Christ. We see that cross of Calvary. We see one who loved you so much that He died for you. We see that love that is unearthly, totally unselfish. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. What a Saviour He is. Are you following Him today? A window is used for looking in. Whenever we read the Bible, we discover that we don't only look out through the light of Scripture to see Christ our Saviour, but we learn that God looks into our lives, and there is nothing hid from His gaze. And that's an awesome sight, a solemn sight to think that there's nothing about me that God does not know. But ultimately I know that God loves me? Have you embraced that love? Are you following him? I thank you so much for listening.